I want to start off by asking you a question. And this question is, what do you praise? What is it that you give worth to? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it money? Or maybe the praise is directed more personally to your ability, maybe your intellect or strength, where your emotions, your heart, the very what drives you. Is to praise anything other than God. Because if your praise is anything other than God, you are not praising God. Some time ago, I met a Romanian pastor, this was many years ago, who invited me to his church. When attending his church, I was there in the whole service, and as the service was going on, I realized that the whole service was in the Romanian language. There was no translation. There was nothing there which I understood. I didn't understand what they were saying or what they were singing. But there was one thing I recognized. And that thing, what I recognized, was that they were praising the Lord. I didn't understand their language, but I knew they were praising God. Because praising the Lord is a universal language. When God's people come together, we should bond together in praise to the Lord. And this is true regardless of what language you speak or where you are from. Praising God is a universal language recognized by God's people. When believers gather together, it's a common language amongst God's people. And when praising God, there is a specific word that you may recognize. It's a Hebrew word, which sounds the same and means the same regardless of which country you're from and which language you speak. Does anyone know what that word is? Yes, it's hallelujah, which is a Hebrew word. And this, the word hallelujah, it's broken into two parts. You got hallel, which means to boast or brag. And then you got Yah, which means the Yahweh or the name of God. So when we say hallelujah, we are boasting and bragging in the Lord. 24 times we find this phrase, hallelujah, in the Old Testament, and once in the New Testament, in the book of Revelations. But also, this Hebrew word is so common, it's even in the English dictionary, where it is translated, praise to the Lord, or give joy to God, or a shout to God. And in this psalm that was read, Psalm 150, the psalmist here calls the hearers and the readers to praise the Lord. You see, the book of Psalms is broken or divided into five books. The first four books end with a doxology, which is to praise God. But the fifth book in the book of Psalms, from Psalm 146 up to 150, all those psalms start and end with the phrase, praise the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 1, praise the Lord. The last verse, verse 10, praise the Lord. And it goes on in Psalm 147, 148, and 149. And here in 150. And that this last psalm in the book of Psalms is almost like a doxology or a praise of the entirety of the book of Psalms. As we read in the last verse, let everything that has breath, verse 6, praise the Lord. And this is what I want us to navigate through this evening. That I want to draw out four points when it comes to praising the Lord, which we will see in this psalm. Firstly, where are we to praise the Lord? Secondly, why are we to praise the Lord? Thirdly, how are we to praise the Lord? And finally, who is to praise the Lord? Where, why, how, and who? So firstly, read with me verse 1. In Psalm 150, it reads, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. We can clearly see two parts here. You've got the sanctuary and you've got the firmaments, which the psalmist is saying, praise the Lord in. Firstly, the sanctuary here would have been the temple in Jerusalem where they would have gone to praise the Lord. However, it would have not just been just the sanctuary. It would have also, Israel would have praised the Lord in the daily sacrifices or in the public feasts or festivals. The emphasis or point is here, where God's people were gathered, there God was to be praised. Now we know there is no longer a physical temple where we go because of Jesus Christ. The new covenant, God's people are living stones. They become the temple of God by the Spirit of God, or through the Spirit of God. But the key here is that when God's people gather corporately together, they are to direct their praise to the Lord. Here in Emmanuel Church, when we come here, we are to direct our praise to God. Every time we meet in song, worshiping in song, hearing God's word, hearing the reading of God's word, collectively as we meet, our sole direction should be to praise the Lord. and him alone. But the psalmist goes further. From the sanctuary, it reads, praise him in his mighty firmament. The expanse of the heavens, where angelic beings are present, where basically it's saying to praise God everywhere, here on earth and also in heaven. Humans on earth, angels in heaven. Let all things praise the Lord. Where we are joining with heaven, angelic beings, this symphony of praise to the Lord, collectively, where earth is mirroring what is happening in heaven as we are praising the Lord. The Lord is to be praised in the whole universe. And if we turn to the book of Revelations, look at this image. The book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 11. And it reads, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands praying with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard. So this is John saying he heard, saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. What a picture. It's truly amazing that all things are to praise the Lord. In heaven and on earth. Why? Because God has created the heavens and the earth. And we read that in the book of Genesis, that he has created all things. But as Christians, we understand that, or we read in the Gospel of John chapter 1, referring to Jesus, that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. And Paul goes on to confirm in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through to 18, that in Jesus all things were made, created in heaven and earth, visible, invisible. All things were created by him, and that he was before creation. Jesus is to be praised. The one who has redeemed his people. Therefore, here, to praise God in his sanctuary, in the firmaments, is as we come corporately together, we are to praise the Lord. Secondly, why are we to praise the Lord? Look at verse 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We are to praise the Lord because of his mighty acts. But not just his mighty acts, or what he has done, but who he is, no matter what he has done. And that's important because as Christians, some want to praise God when God is doing things for them. As we even heard this morning, that's not a correct way of thinking biblically. Because even if God does nothing for you and you are saved by his grace, you are to praise him because who he is. So praise him for his mighty acts. And what are his mighty acts? What may come to your mind is creation. I remember when I became a Christian many years ago, the first thing I recognized as I walked out a shop where I gave my life to the Lord was, it's as if my eyes were opened to creation. I saw creation in my life, like the sky and the trees and everything else, but they looked so different to me. They actually looked amazing. Where it made me then question that if this creation which I am looking at is amazing, how amazing is the Creator? And this is God's amazing creation. In Psalm 19, verse 1, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." We are to appreciate the art and beauty of creation. Now, people take that too far and they worship the creation rather than the Creator. But as we look at creation, it's supposed to overwhelm our heart about the one who has created it. And in doing so, we see God's mighty work within creation, his mighty acts. As my wife always says, that only God is the true artist. And that is true. He is the true artist. Likewise, not just creation, we see God's mighty acts, but we see God's mighty acts in how we have been created. You see, this phone here that I have, the memory or storage within this phone is 64 gigabytes. So I can store 64 gigabytes worth of memory in there. That's photos, videos, information, documents. But did you know that within our body, we have what's called DNA cells or molecules? And each molecule of DNA within our bodies holds not 64 GB, but 215 million GB. One molecule. And there are millions of DNA molecules in us. Look how amazing we are made. Psalm 139, verse 14. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the chief architect, the designer, the one who has declared his mighty acts within creation, his power within ourselves as we see how we have been formed and fashioned from the dirt, from mud. And yet we hold billions and billions of data of information within ourselves. If we was to take that and put it in a book form, it would just stack all the way up to the sky. But there is another mighty act of God, which we can say, or is the mightiest act of God. And this act is redemption. That Jesus came and died for your sins. He rose again on the third day according to scriptures. And now God commands all men to repent and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, that their sins may be forgiven and they may inherit eternal life. And concerning this salvation, Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 19, verse 15, that thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's indescribable gift of salvation, redemption of what God has done for his people. Moreover, it's not just we read here, praise him in verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts, but praise him according to his excellent greatness. We are to praise God for who he is. Not just to praise him for what he has done, but regardless of what he has done, to continue to praise him for who he is. We heard this morning, even in our sufferings, our sufferings glorify God. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in everything, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Whatever you are going through, persecution, family problems, health problems, financial problems, trials, God is still worthy to be praised because of who he is. Because of his excellent greatness. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is merciful. His love is beyond measure. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are to praise him for who he is. And our praise shouldn't be circumstantial, but driven by knowing who he is. Yes, praise God for a godly wife, for a godly husband. Praise God for a job or a good job or abilities or good health. Praise God for these things, for children and God providing in his provision. Praise the Lord. But if these things were non-existent in our lives, will we still praise him? You see, sometimes we look at the physical things that we can almost see. And praise God, dependent on that, I get a good job. Praise the Lord. You know, God has provided this house for me. Praise the Lord. God has done this for me, praise the Lord. And like I said, there's nothing wrong in that. But even if he doesn't, we are to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, God has given you a new heart, if you know him. Praise God that he sustains you through your troubles. Praise God that he convicts you of your sin. Praise God that he comforts you in times of need. Praise God. Like we heard this morning, that his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. He is worthy to be praised because of his acts, mighty acts, and because who he is. So firstly, we examined where we are to praise the Lord. Secondly, why we are to praise the Lord. And thirdly, how are we to praise the Lord? Look at verse 3. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instrument and flute. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Now, most of these things which are listed here, they would have been associated with things like wedding celebrations in Israel, even the military, where there's an account where they go out and they send out those to sing and play, or even national celebrations like Exodus chapter 12 through to 14, where Miriam and other women were dancing and playing and singing while leading the congregation in praise when God delivered them, because God delivered them out of Egypt. But the emphasis here, or the reason these things are listed, is emphasizing that we need to praise God with everything you have. There's nothing wrong with instruments in church. We have them ourselves here. As long as the instruments complement the words that we are singing to the Lord in praise. Some churches, unfortunately, have elevated music so high and so loud, it is almost like they want to get you into a trance, where there is no focus on the words of what they are saying, how they are expressing. It's all about the music, where the music just takes over. And then there is no expression or adoration to God truly from the heart. But I would go further by saying, not just in music or with instruments. We can see David used the harp and things like that. And you know, these things, God has made it so. And there's nothing wrong using instruments and praising the Lord. I'm not saying there is. But I will go further and say that if we are to praise God with everything we have, that includes everything. As we read in Romans 12, giving our whole bodies to God as a living sacrifice, for this is our worship to God. Your mind, your body, your spirit, your intellect, solely driven to praise the Lord in your daily life. You know, the Westminster Confession of Faith states, what is the chief end of man? Answer, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We read in Isaiah 42:8 that God will not give his glory to another or share his praise. Why? Because God is worthy of praise. And we are to give everything to God. Our whole life, our whole intellect, our being, everything. Let me ask you, as personally as we examine ourselves, let me ask you this question. What do you think about? Now, I know there are many challenges in life. Our lives can be up and down. But what I mean by what do you think about is when everything settles and it's you, is your thoughts directed towards God? Do you think about praising the Lord? Is even your mind drawn to God? We read in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts should be directed, driven, motivated towards the Lord. Well, let me ask you also, why do you do what you do? Why do you say what you say? Why do you do what you do? Why do you maybe text what you text? You know, what are your motivations in doing what you are doing? Is it to impress people? Be liked by others? Approved by people? Paul states in 1 Thessalonians, we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. Our motivations, the things we do, should be driven to glorify the Lord. They should be driven to praise God. Not so our motives are driven for self. What about your activities? How are you presently now serving the Lord? How are you serving Him? Even here in Emmanuel Church, how are you serving the Lord where there's needs? Or are you a person who takes and takes and drains everyone and everything like a parasite and never inputs into anything? As Joshua said in chapter 24, we need to choose this day who we will serve. We are to praise God by giving Him everything. Our profession of what we profess should be matched with our lives. Our doctrine, what we believe, should be matched with how we apply it. They go together. They are never separated. So firstly, where we are to praise the Lord. Well, we are to praise Him everywhere. Why are we to praise the Lord? Because of His mighty acts and what He has done and who He is. How are we to praise the Lord? by giving everything to him. Our whole lives. And lastly, who is to praise the Lord? Look at verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everything that has breath. And the question here is, how will everything that has breath praise the Lord? How? How can this be done? And the answer is by engaging in missions. If the word is speaking about let all that has breath praise the Lord, then we are to go out. We are to proclaim the gospel, advance the good news. We are to forward God's kingdom on this earth so that those who have breath will praise the Lord. Because even this word breath here is human life. That through us, we will go and proclaim to all those who have living breath so that they may come to praise the Lord. It is not good to just talk about the things of God, which it is good, don't get me wrong. But then we need to challenge ourselves by going and proclaiming it to others. If everything that has breath is to praise God, we need to engage in missions. As we even heard in our prayer too, you know, every tongue, tribe, and nation is here in Handsworth. We don't need to go anywhere. In our workplaces, in our even family lives, or many of our family members are not saved. The streets of Soho Road or wherever in Handsworth or Birmingham, we could proclaim the gospel so that they may come to know and praise the Lord. You are the light in this world. So let your light shine that others may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Yes, we know a day will come when every knee shall bow. But we want people to be saved, so that they bow the knee before they are forced to bow. And that is by us proclaiming the gospel, speaking to others. Why? Because it's not just missions itself is not the end goal. Evangelism is not the end goal. The end goal is the primary purpose, as we heard in the Westminster Confession of Faith, is that we praise God. Everything that has breath, praise God. Now, on to eternity. You know, when we come to realize that God is bigger, more valuable than anything in this world, you will praise him. You will. But if God is not valuable to you, if God is not big to you, if God is not worth of value or price to you, and that's where really the word praise comes from, is to give, ascribe worth or value or price. If he is not to you, you will not praise him. You will not praise him. So let me finish with this. As we examine ourselves, as we know who we are in the Lord, let us praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with singing instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.